Good evening, everybody. We're going to be thinking this evening about speaking and about a way to speak and what Proverbs has to teach us about a way to speak. We've been going through a series in Proverbs, and this evening the subject is a way to speak. Words are powerful. I'm sure that we're all familiar with this saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Except we know that that's not really true. We know that words can hurt. Words are powerful. And I don't know who it was that originally composed that little rhyme, but I can tell you that it wasn't one of the wisdom writers of the Old Testament. These men knew the power of words. They knew the power of words to achieve great good, but also potentially to do great harm. And I think that intuitively, we all know this as well. I've got a book at home that's called Speeches That Changed the World. The words of these great speeches still resonate with us today. They're just words, but they are powerful, and they did change the world. I'll give you a couple of examples. "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood." Powerful, powerful words that cast us back in our minds to 1963. For those of us who were there then, as Martin Luther King Jr. stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and spoke those powerful words. Here is another example. "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." Well-known words spoken, of course, by Winston Churchill in his speech to the House of Commons in 1940. Words that are spoken at the right time and spoken with the right tone can be incredibly powerful. They can change the world. And despite the fact that we live today in an increasingly image-driven culture, words are still powerful. Words are still important. We live in a culture of sound bites. Many of you will be familiar with the concept of Twitter. But for those of you who aren't, it's an online news and social networking site where people communicate in short messages called tweets. So they have this short message to try and get across their point in a poignant, powerful, kind of pithy saying, much like a proverb. And apparently, there are around 500 million tweets sent every day into the Twitterverse around the world. So words are recognized as being powerful today as well. And the book of Proverbs recognizes the great power of speech. In Proverbs 18:21, we're told that the tongue has the power of life and death. And so this evening, I'd just like us to think about the power of words. I'd like us to think, first of all, about what it is that makes words so powerful, what Proverbs has to say about that. And then we're going to think about what it means to use words well. And finally, just think about how practically we can do that. So firstly, why are words so powerful? Well, there's two reasons that are given by the writers of the book of Proverbs for why words are powerful. They're powerful because they can penetrate, and they're powerful because they can spread. We all know the penetrating impact that words can have. I'm sure that every one of us has experienced the pain of being hurt by cruel or thoughtless words. Proverbs 12:18 says that the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Throughout the Psalms, the most frequent weapon that was used against the psalmists was the tongue. In Psalm 57, David writes, "I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." False accusations can deeply wound reputations. And gossip creates division. It severs. It divides friends and loved ones. But on the other hand, words can also penetrate in a way that is positive, in a way that is helpful. The second half of that verse, Proverbs 12:18, says that the tongue of the wise brings healing. A timely word can cure, it can heal, it can restore peace, it can bring reconciliation. And there can also be a positive outcome from the painful penetration of words. We're reminded of this in Peter's first sermon in the book of Acts. After the Holy Spirit is given, Peter stands up and he preaches this incredible sermon. And listen to the people's response to what Peter said, Peter's inspired words. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" They experienced the Spirit-driven penetration of the words that Peter was inspired to speak. And they were compelled to repent and to be baptized. And we read that incredibly about 3,000 people were added to the church that day. So words are powerful because they can penetrate. But they're also powerful because they have the ability to multiply and to spread. And once again, we'll see that this can be either for good or for evil. Proverbs 16:27 says that a scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. James says something very similar in his letter to the church in the New Testament. He says, "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." This is such a powerful image. Fire can be so incredibly destructive and difficult to control. I'm sure that you remember last summer when we had that spell of really dry, hot weather, and there were quite a few wildfires that occurred, and many of these were started just by acts of carelessness, by a stray spark from a barbecue or a campfire that wasn't properly extinguished. Fires don't take very much to start, but once they're started and once they start to get out of control, they can take an awful lot to stop. Many firefighters spent many days fighting wildfires last summer. Words, likewise, are powerful, and they can spread very easily and be very destructive. But just as the penetrating power of words had a positive side, so the spreading power of words can be thought of positively as well. Proverbs 12:14, "From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things." A righteous person will find that their words bear fruit that is both good for them and also good for others. Proverbs 10:11 says that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. It's a constant source of blessing, a source of refreshment. And again, in the New Testament, we see the spreading power of words. We see it in the way that the gospel exploded outwards from Jerusalem. Jesus commissioned his disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And throughout the book of Acts, Luke includes a number of progress reports so that we can see how this is being fulfilled by the ministry of the apostles. In Acts 6, we read that the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And later on in the book of Acts, when the gospel is reaching towards the ends of the earth, Paul is in the city of Ephesus, and we read that the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So words are powerful. They have the potential to penetrate. They have the potential to spread. This is a modern-day proverb. It's not found in the book of Proverbs. It's spoken by Uncle Ben to Peter Parker in the first Spider-Man movie. But I think the words are very true. So Uncle Ben said, "With great power comes great responsibility." And in light of the power that words have, we have to learn how to use them responsibly. And I'd just like to think about that this evening and highlight four characteristics of good words, four ways in which we can use words well. So first of all, good words will be honest. Proverbs 16:13 says that kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. To have honest lips and to speak what is right is just another way of saying to tell the truth. If we want to speak well, if we want to use words well, then we need to be lovers of truth and speakers of truth. I read recently something that was written by a man called Vince Vitale. He's the director of the Zacharias Institute, and he was writing about truth and how truth is viewed within our society, our Western culture. And I'd just like to share with you what he wrote. He said, "It's no wonder that discussion of truth has all but disappeared from modern Western discourse. And when it is discussed, the discussion is very confused. The line between truth and falsity is growing ever blurrier. There's the truth, and then there's the naked truth. There's the honest truth, and then there's the God's honest truth. Lies are okay, as long as they're white. Truth is buried because it hurts. We've become skilled at manipulating the truth. We stretch the truth and bend the truth and twist the truth. When we want something to be false, we knock on wood. When we want something to be true, we cross our fingers. We make truth claims literal when they are metaphorical. We say, 'I'm literally dying for a cup of coffee.' If we want someone to have confidence that we're actually telling the truth, we need to add a qualifier, 'in truth,' or 'truth be told,' or 'to tell you the truth.' We hate that people won't accept us for who we truly are, but we spend most of our time on social media trying to convince people that we're someone we are not." Vitale concludes his chapter on truth with these powerful words. "In a secular age where God is increasingly deemed irrelevant to truth, we fear the truth and we abuse the truth because truth and love are disconnected. Truth has become something it was never meant to be. Impersonal, offensive, a burden. But because of Jesus, we never need to doubt where the truth is on our side. We never need to doubt whether truth loves us. Let us be lovers of the truth because the truth loves us. If you are a lover of Jesus who said of himself, I am the way and the truth and the life, then you will speak honestly and your words will be good. Secondly, good words will be few. Economy with words is beneficial. It's beneficial on three levels. Firstly, in terms of self-preservation of the individual. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives. Secondly, in terms of the good of our neighbors, Proverbs 11:12 says that whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. And thirdly, and most importantly, in terms of our relationship with God, Proverbs 10:19, which Mackenzie read to us, says, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent will hold their tongues. The preacher to Ecclesiastes said this, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. And the Lord Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples about prayer, said this to them, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. If you want to speak well, then you will use words sparingly. Thirdly, good words will be calm. Proverbs 17:27 says that the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. A restrained use of words is commended as the mark of an even-tempered speaker. And there's three reasons given in the book of Proverbs for praising calmness. The first is that it allows time for a fair hearing. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Secondly, it allows tempers to cool. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And the third reason given in Proverbs why it is good to use words calmly is that to speak calmly is powerful. In Proverbs 25:15, a gentle tongue can break a bone. I came across a wonderful example recently of someone speaking incredibly calmly under incredible pressure. It was in David Wilkerson's book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And in it, he tells how one evening, two of his young female volunteers went out on the streets to try and speak to some teenage girls, to engage them in conversation and to share with them the love of Christ. And they found a group of girls and they started talking to them. And suddenly they found themselves surrounded by a group of boys. The boys were angry and the boys were jealous, because they thought that if these girls who were part of their gang, who they thought belonged to them, if they became Christians, then they would lose them. Linda and Kay, the two girls, heard language that they'd never heard before. The boys pushed and taunted them, and then from nowhere, something glistened in the dark, and as Linda looked, she saw that one of the boys held a crescent-shaped knife. that shone in the night like the moon. Without warning, he lunged at Linda. Linda slipped her body sideways, and the knife slashed through her clothing. It ripped out a chunk of her dress, but it did not touch her body. Linda turned to the boy while he was still off balance, and once again she spoke the words that had helped her before. Her voice was low, and she put all the meaning she could into her words. God bless you. Then she took Kay by the arm, and they walked down the street. The boys followed them for a little while, but quickly and unexpectedly they gave up. It is only by the grace of God that Linda managed to speak so incredibly calmly in that situation. If we want to speak well, then we need to speak calmly. And fourthly, good words will be apt. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A person finds joy in giving an apt reply." And how good is a timely word? If we value our thoughts, we will be careful about how we express them. We'll make sure that they're fitting within the context of the conversation. And we'll also be careful about our timing. A well-spoken word is a word spoken in season. Words are spoken out of season. Mistimed words can be ineffective, they can be counterproductive, and they can also be harmful. Proverbs 26:9 says that like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. The fool might have the right words. He might be able to quote the proverb. But if he speaks it at the wrong time or in the wrong way, then he can do great damage, both to himself and to others. Like a drunkard flailing around a thorn bush. If we want to speak well, then we will search for the right words at the right time. I'd like to finish this evening by just thinking, how can we do this? How practically can we use words well? And there's three things I want to focus on, and they all begin with the letter I. The first thing that we need to do is to ask the Lord to instruct us. Proverbs 2:6 teaches that the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God is the source of all wisdom. He is the source of all good words. And he graciously teaches those who will listen to him and who are prepared to learn from him. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says that the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. If you want to speak good words that are honest, that are calm, that are apt, that are timely, then you need to listen to the instruction of the Lord. Morning by morning, you need to come before him. You need to ask him to instruct your tongue, to give you the right words to say at the right time, to sustain those who are weary. The second thing that we need to do is to recognize the indwelling power of God's Holy Spirit transforming us. What a person says wells up from what they are. It will be worth what they are worth. In Proverbs 10:20, we read, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." So the tongue of the righteous is set in parallel with the heart of the wicked. and their values are directly compared. We see that the tongue of the righteous is valuable. It's like choice silver. But the hearts of wicked people are worthless. And the extreme importance of what's going on in your heart and its connection to what comes out of your mouth is made in Proverbs 4:23, which says that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Jesus said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good that is stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. If you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, then you have his Holy Spirit living within you, living within your heart. It is God's seal of ownership on you. And the Spirit within you is at work. He's at work changing you, transforming you into the likeness of your Savior, into the image of Christ with ever-increasing glory. May we recognize this. And may we do everything in our power to encourage this transformation and to grow in godliness so that the words that come out of our mouth may overflow from hearts that are surrendered to the Lord Jesus and may bring life to those who hear them. Finally, we need to ask others to intercede for us. We need intercession. I haven't found this in the book of Proverbs, but it is in the New Testament. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Paul was probably the most passionate, the most gifted evangelist in the history of the church. And yet he recognized his need for prayer, that he might have good words, the right words to say, and that he might clearly and courageously explain the mystery of the gospel. If Paul was conscious of his need for help to find the right words in this important task, then how much more should we be? I'd like to close this evening by just thinking about what happens when we get it wrong. What happens when we don't use the right words? When we say something and we cause harm and we can't take it back, what happens when we don't speak well? Because there are times when we don't speak well. I know that in my own life. I want to share a story about this man, Charles Simeon, the great 19th century minister and author. He apparently had a habit of getting very irritated and of speaking harshly over quite insignificant offenses. One day he went to the house of a friend called Mr. Hankinson, and he became very angry, very irritated with a servant who was stoking the fire. So angry, in fact, that he swatted him on the back to get him to stop. And then as he was leaving the house, the servant got the bridle of his horse mixed up. And once again, Charles Simeon was so angry with the man. And Mr. Hankinson, his friend, wrote a letter as if it was from the servant, and he put it in Simeon's saddlebag for Simeon to find later. And in it, he wrote that he did not see how a man who preached and prayed so well could be in such a passion about nothing and wear no bridle on his tongue. And Mr. Hankinson signed the letter John softly. And Charles Simeon wrote back to the servant with these words, "To John softly, from Charles, proud and irritable, I most cordially thank you, my friend, for your kind and seasonable reproof." And then he wrote to his friend, Mr. Hankinson, "I hope, my dearest brother, that when you find your soul nigh to God, you will remember one who so greatly needs all the help he can get." When we get it wrong, we need to seek forgiveness from God and from those who we have wronged, from those who we have hurt. And we humbly need to ask our brothers and sisters in Christ to intercede on our behalf, to pray for us, because we all greatly need all the help we can get. Let's pray now. Father, we do need all the help we can get. We thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for the wisdom that we find in it. We thank you for the way in which your Spirit inspired these men to write these incredible sayings that teach us how to live well, and especially as we've been thinking this evening, how to speak well. And Lord, we want to speak well. We want to speak well for your glory. We want to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to use our tongues to praise you. And we pray for your help. We thank you so much that you have given us your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that your Spirit is transforming us. And we ask, Lord, that we would be taught, we would be instructed, we would be shown what to say and how to say it and when to say it, so that we might encourage one another, so that we might support the weak, so that our speech might be pleasing to you. We ask this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.